Do you need a roadmap to jumpstart your career? One that doesn't assume you grew up with the internet? A simple guide to today's digital tools. Visit mojo40.com, a blog for career-minded people over 40. Diane Delinsky-Picard offers practical advice, tips, and tricks to retool your skills. Rebuild your business networks to match a changing marketplace. At mojo40.com, subscribe to Diane's free blog or call 914-645-1667 for insights and inspiration. Mojo40.com, doing the legwork to get your career mojo back. 914-645-1667.
Well, welcome again. Our second segment is always with my broadcast partner from none other than mojo40.com. How are you this morning, Diane?
I'm terrific, Zara. Thanks for asking.
You bet. Well, as always for my listeners, Diane is one of our frequent partners. She comes on once a month, and her blog is one you want to check out, mojo40.com, particularly for those of us that are over 40, that are really struggling perhaps with some of the digital elements of the world these days, particularly as it relates to career shifting and growing businesses, but also really the knowledge that Diane has amassed and shares with this very upbeat blog really relates to everyone. And today we wanted to go a little bit of a departure as opposed to focusing on individuals in the midst of change to really talk about small business owners that are in the midst of change. And in fact, Diane did a really terrific blog recently called The Business Killers. So how was it you came about even writing this one, Diane?
Actually, that's a good question. I was at actually a networking event sponsored by a bank that was selling into the tier of small and medium-sized businesses. And so as I was schmoozing with what were really senior executives who were invited to this, we started talking about not so much the nuts and bolts of being in the business, but of managing the businesses and the businesses within the larger scheme of the stages of life transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was what gave me the idea of this blog post. I focus on those of us who are over 40, and we're not only managing our career, but we're keeping on the radar the retirement years and the long-term transition of our business years.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the business killers, the eight lame mistakes of small business owners, start us down that track.
Okay. I'd be glad to. Well, the first mistake is, and it often comes because you're so busy on the details of your business, but you need to have set up a plan in place unless you're like a sole proprietor. If you have a partner or several partners, you're a limited liability corp or that thing, you need to have a plan in place for succession. There are various things. Nobody necessarily wants to be getting divorced, have a disability, run into debt, even retirement, which might loom. And these things, though, are not as infrequent as you might think. In fact, for sure, they're going to hit somebody's radar screen. And if you don't have a plan in place for how that person's share will be bought out or how the succession will happen, you will have far fewer options down the road. I mean, it's like being caught in a vise. So that's something you want to set up in the terms of the structure and the process of your corporation.
Yeah, particularly, as you said, if there's more than one other partner involved. That if something would happen to either of you, where will it go and how will it transition? Well, great.
Exactly.
Number two was the idea of how you really juggle the money that comes as a result of your business.
Yes, exactly. The number two lame mistake of small business owners is putting all your profits into your business and not developing a plan for your own retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's really hard to be on top of your game for, what is it, 40 years of your life, 45, sometimes even longer. Businesses change. There are currents that are coming from outside of your industry, global currents, you know, economic currents, currency exchange risks, you know, new competitors and all of this. It's really, really hard to be sure that you've insured against all of these possibilities. So I think, and most business owners would agree, if you really look at the picture, you do need to put profits back in your business. You do need to grow it. But you have to have a separate sort of nest egg that takes care of your own retirement. If you put everything into your business, you're really, you know, you're keeping a very high risk profile. The example that I give sometimes, you know, let's say you have a store and one of these big box retailers is locating, you know, less than half a mile away. I mean, can you really compete with a Lowe's if you're a hardware store? Or let's say you're a pharmacy, can you compete with a CVS? I mean, at that point, you would say to yourself, wow, maybe I should have bought the building, or maybe I should have put more into a 401k.
Well, and the challenge, of course, always, that goes the same for a lot of individuals that are invested in companies that aren't necessarily providing them a pension plan. So kind of that advice goes to everybody to put that money aside. Number three, because back to number two, of course, if you're putting all your profits in, you're making an assumption that it, come that point in time where you want to transition, that it's going to be worth something when you sell it. And sometimes that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's very hard to predict things. Sometimes when you go and sell it, you'll get a premium. Maybe a bigger fish wants you. They want your client list. They want your proprietary knowledge. Could be any number of assets that's really attracting them. Sometimes, you know, you'll break even. Sometimes it looks like you're waited a little bit too long and you're going on the downhill side of your business instead of selling it at its peak. But the key point is you should actually have a real current sense of the value of your business, and I'm actually recommending an annual valuation for your business. Really, you know, get an accountant or an analyst with deep experience in valuing businesses who will on a regular basis give you an idea what, you know, what you're worth, what your business is worth. And that will really help you if something comes along and, you know, the last valuation was 5 years prior. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's right, because you have to scramble to do it.
Many times. It's also like much harder to make a judgment call.
You bet. When you're
you know,
in the
almost
panic.
Anything which is, you know, within the last 12 months is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Now, if you're looking, though, at going into that process of moving your business forward, always this idea of, well, where's your funding to keep it growing or moving?
Yeah. Now, this is something actually I've had firsthand experience. I've worked with startups, actually worked on the presentation where we're looking for money, mm-hmm. whether they're software development firms or whether they're actually making consumer products. And there's a very strategic decision when are you going to go outside your network of family and friends to get funding. And, you know, you could actually block it out in the graph, but the earlier you're looking for funding, you know, the more you're going to be giving away equity. And it is absolutely true you should, you know, look at the trade-offs of trying to bootstrap yourself without an infusion of cash, but you do not want to be taking too much cash and giving away too much equity for something that you can grow incrementally on your own. Or even, you know, with, let's put it, less radical infusions of cash. Let me put numbers on the sketch here, mm-hmm. Zara. If you're looking for $1 million, they're going to charge you a lot in terms of share of your company. Whereas if you're looking for $200,000, you know, you might be able to match that just in your own family network, and you can retain more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And particularly this idea of how long you want to hold those funds. So, you know, you characterize, Diane, each of these steps, you know, no buy-sell agreement or succession plan in place. Another lame one was putting your profits into your biz as opposed to retirement. Number three was make sure you keep up with your annual valuation. And this fourth one about striking that right balance of self-investing versus venture capital. So your insight on this says that more people are giving away more of the business too soon? Is that what the lame mistake is?
Yeah, this is the thing. Smaller companies, they're having trouble, let's say, getting the work done with the number of people that they have. They want to increase headcount. Mm-hmm. So who's going to pay those salaries? Or, you know, where are they going to get the funding to do two trade shows a month as opposed to one every 4 weeks. Or, you know, they want to scale up and build out this model so that it's consistent with web and with mobile and all the different devices.
You bet.
And that's an awful lot of development time. Those are like typical scenarios. So they're looking for funding. But there's a real trade-off. And I'm not a venture capitalist. I just want people to think about it with an eyes wide open situation. There is a real trade-off between going for big money and giving away your business. You know, some of the people were able to get through the process of funding still holding on to more than 50% of their business.
Yeah, exactly.
And others get through it, you know, they only have a 20% share. Well, if you're going to be working your tail off, would you rather have more or less? If you really believe in your business.
That's true. And at what point do you flip the switch? You know, the other idea, too, is that people only consider things like venture capital funding or out of their own pocket. And there's really a lot of other non-bank group funding sources out there. But you have to be careful of those choices, too.
Yes, there are. So a couple that I'll mention, you can actually fund your accounts receivable. That is, if you have already sold goods, and you're just expecting payment, you can get a certain portion of that paid up front, so you get the cash flow going, and you can grow faster. You can fund your purchase orders. You can factor your business. There are different ways to handle it. Sometimes even if you get a good alliance partner, you can go in with them and you know, jointly decide on this project, we're going to be sharing the overhead. And in that way, you know, you get the benefit of each other's customer base, and you really only have half the overhead. So I think in this time, people should be looking, you know, certainly to have a competitive bunch of offers for their business from banks, from non-banks, from possible partnerships, factoring firms, and all of that.
Well, and particularly the idea of partnering with others, because the idea of sharing the flow of ideas is really compelling.
Absolutely.
Number six on your list, though, has to do with the whole human capital side of a mistake that many small business owners make.
Yep. I'm calling that not taking care of your most valuable key employees. So I'm starting from the perspective here that you own your business, you're in some kind of a partnership with other people. But maybe outside the top three people, you have a sidekick or a lieutenant. And that person needs to be happy. That person has to be giving 110%. And if they are key, you can count on the fact that somebody is trying to entice them away. So if you have a gal Friday who is really crucial to your small business, she's smart, she's able to thin slice in the way Malcolm Gladwell says, to sift, you know, innumerable factors and focus on the ones that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
She's a keeper of your business network. She's pounded the pavement forever. She just knows everybody. And she can really work through problems with your clients, and that's a key person. Could be a he, it could be in operations, it could be in product development, it could be in compliance. The point is you should know how happy they are, and you should be checking in frequently so you know whether or not you're going to be risking the fact that that person will be jumping ship. And sometimes it's not always due to something in your business. It's not always the case that a tough obstacle will demoralize your employees, even your key employees. It sometimes may be they're just coming to a life transition. You know, that's why your moniker of circles of change and the journey you're on is so appropriate, Zara, because there are times that we ourselves as human beings, we come to these crossroads and we're looking for challenges. And if that happens to meet up at a certain crucial time in your business, that employee could be keeping their eyes a little bit more off to the side waters.
You bet.
And you want to have the opportunity to reel them in and keep them dedicated before they've made a decision to leave.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Diane Dolinsky-Picard, who writes the blog mojo40.com. We're talking about business killers, in particular, eight lame mistakes that small business owners can fall prey to. Number seven was not keeping a cash cushion for compliance. And what do you mean by that?
Okay, so here is the thing. You know, you regularly are taking out taxes on your employees. You know there are business filings. You know there are deadlines. But there are often unanticipated contingencies that come up. And you have to be really careful that you don't cut things too finely. I mean, this is where everybody has a controller, and the controller has to be prudent. And you don't want to be pulling in cash to deal with an issue that hit you blindsided. To some extent, if you're in a really competitive industry and you don't have, you know, easy cash flow, you're always making a judgment call. But it is absolutely true that having a cash cushion, even if it's not working for you, is just a smart move. You know, don't underestimate what it would take if there's a little human error and you suddenly have to pay out for something.
Yeah, that's really, and that, again, that goes on the personal side of things as well, doesn't it?
Exactly. Sometimes, you know, people just mess up. I heard a story the other day of a trader who didn't follow through on their side. And, you know, you have to put capital requirements against trades. And when one side doesn't follow through, the other side has all that money out there, and it's not working for you. So when they went to reconcile the books at the end of the day, they saw that gap. That is a problem. But that is not a completely unexpected problem. If you've ever worked in the equity business, it comes around from time to time. So you need to manage your business in line with even what they would call the long tail event, the unexpected event that could happen where you need to have cash.
Yeah, that's really true. And the final one, like many of these nuances for any of us, but it's sometimes hard as a small business owner to justify it, though, it's to reach out your arms and bring in other experts to advise you and help you guide that way. Particularly, your recommendation is, you know, attorneys and CPAs.
Exactly. I have to say, you know, you really need a top-notch attorney and a best-in-class CPA. Every small business should have that. If you don't have 110% faith in your professional advisory servers, I mean, you are making a mistake. There's an adage that many people heard growing up, mind the pennies and the dollars will add up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that one?
Oh, you bet.
Right. So I actually in general agree with that. But here's the point. You know, if you're looking at billing rates and the value you're getting, that's a fair cost-benefit analysis. But if you think over the long run that you need a professional advisor who's going to proactively tell you, these are the things that can hit you up. These are the things we need to comply with. You know, there's going to be an employee who's going to try to sue you and you know, put all kinds of stuff on your back. There's going to be some regulatory issue which is unclear and it's going to get flagged. You want to be sure that your professional advisory team really knows your business, really knows the industry, and really knows all applicable legal, regulatory, and tax issues. So I would say it's worth it here to spring, not for, like, you know, the lowest person or even a person who came recommended from a friend, but the person who really has that shiny look in the industry that you're in, that's active and on top of it, that's presenting, and that really can make the case why they're better than the others.
And if I might add a ninth one to listen to and consider is many times small business owners can get in trouble by indeed relying upon their friend network more than they do their professional network, or one that's one space detached. So The whole idea of looking at a business advisor or even a mastermind group, right, Diane, of other individuals that are a similar spot, but make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are successful in their given chosen field and business.
Exactly. You know, that reminds me, there was a blog post that ran months ago at mojo40.com called The Fastest Way to Rise to Greatness. And it was saying pretty much that surround yourself with successful people, people that motivate you. I mean, this could be like a regular Friday morning meeting in the diner, Or it could be a Google Plus hangout where all six of you get online once a month, whatever it is. But people who are really sharp, whose business acumen you admire, and work in an environment where they're going to hold you accountable and they're going to really charge you to test the ideas, and they're not just going to take what you're saying on face value. and they're going to, you know, bring out the best. That will be your fastest way to rise to greatness.
And also challenge you, right? I mean, you don't want to just surround yourself with people that will tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly. Exactly. So the skeptic will actually ensure that everyone is not just an echo chamber of each other, but that there'll be constructive disagreement, mm-hmm. and that will bring out the best actual results. So the example that Margaret Heffernan gave in a talk on TED was about a researcher named Alice Stewart, lived in the 1950s in England, and she was questioning the high incidence of children dying of cancer. And ultimately what she found it was the more affluent children who died as compared with those from the lower socioeconomic groups. And they had to basically crunch the numbers in all directions.
Right.
And then she was able to prove her hypothesis that it was the X-rays that were being performed on pregnant mothers at a higher rate among the affluent that was leading to childhood cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and that actually turned around that whole medical process of automatically giving pregnant women X-rays. So this is what I'm saying. You don't want a bunch of nodding heads around you. Yes, use your business network more than your friends, just as you said, Zara, and use them to be skeptics, not just head nodders.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Diane, mojo40.com, that's mojo.com for our listeners, and certainly this blog post, interesting thoughts about business killers, the 8 lame mistakes of small business owners. Diane, thanks as always for contributing to the show and for what you do in providing some really important information for individuals in the state of change as well as organizations of all sizes that are in the state of change. We'll be back with you soon.
Thank you.
You bet. Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.